With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to this latest episode of Ramble Meets, which this week features West Ham and England midfielder Declan Rice. I was invited to West Ham's training ground at Rush Green to take a look around and to talk to some of the players and the staff. So you'll be hearing a few more of these from West Ham with both me and Andy Brassel over the next few weeks. And I just wanted to say thank you to West Ham for that and also our shared sponsor Betway for making that happen. Obviously couldn't have done it without either of those guys, so thank you very much. I was pretty interested to see what a young footballer for a top Premier League club and, of course, for England was like, what made him tick, etc. And I found Declan to be interesting, motivated, engaging, and most importantly, very good company. I think he gave a good insight into what it's like for him as a pro athlete in 2019 at the very top level. And I also hope I succeeded in humanising him a bit because, you know, he's a normal guy and sometimes they're not, you know, footballers aren't really seen as human beings, but Declan came across as like a normal young guy. And if I did manage to do that, it's down to his honesty and his willingness to entertain all my questions, and the credit must go to him. So anyway, I hope you enjoy. This is Ramble Meets with me, Luke Moore, and Declan Rice.
20 minutes, half an hour, something like that.
Really that long?
Well, it depends how long you can talk for. James, hey, how are you? 10 minutes.
Oh, mate, you good?
To me, yeah, you will.
Yeah, good, mate.
Right,
good.
I'll leave you to him.
Declan Rice, footballer, West Ham and England.
All right, first of all, thanks for joining us, Declan. Appreciate your time.
Anytime, mate.
Anytime. What's it like being a footballer?
Wow. It was crazy, to be honest. You know, you dream as a kid, you know, to become a professional footballer. If you think, when you're kids, how many people say they want to become professional footballers. But to actually be one now, after putting in all the hard work and dedication, the sacrifices, it's a dream come true.
And is it, you're obviously still quite a young man, has it sunk in properly for you after how many games you've played and stuff now?
Yeah, I think it's sunk in now. I think it was after the first couple of games, you know, when I made my debut, and then the season following that, the start when I was playing in and out, I realised then that, you know, that I'm basically in, but I need to keep working hard to become a permanent fixture. You know, I've got my head down and that's what I've done, and I'm flourishing and loving every single moment of it.
And how much of it, I mean, you mentioned like getting your head down there, how much of it do you think comes down to real hard work?
I'd say 90% of it, to be honest.
Yeah.
Well, in my case anyway, because when I was younger, I was never actually the best player.
Right.
By far, I was probably mid-group.
What,
always.
School or what?
No, coming through the academy.
Sure,
I was
okay.
Always mid. There was players always better than me. But one thing I had on top of them was like my heart, desire, mentality to play football and give everything. And I think that's always standing me in good stead. But as I've got older, you know, my quality started to shine through now. But I'd say 100%, when you're a kid growing up, I think if you don't work hard, regardless of talent, you won't get there. I think that's so much more important as a kid, to work hard and give everything and really fight and try to improve yourself, than, you know, be a luxury player when you're a kid.
Yeah. And how does that manifest itself, though? Does that mean that you would perhaps not be able to live the lifestyle that a normal teenager would live, that you have to kind of not be out late, not be out doing things,
well,
just get enough sleep and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, well, for me, I was always, you know, I've got a good family around me, with my mum and dad. You know, I still live with them now. You know, when I was in school, there was like pretty much a house party every weekend. Unless I was, if I had a game on the Sunday and the house party was on the Saturday, no chance I would ever go.
Did you want to?
You know what? No. Of course, there's that bit inside you where you think, oh, party this weekend, but you're more looking forward to the game. You know, for me as a kid, if I was going to sleep late, in my head, I'm not playing well tomorrow morning.
Right.
So for me, my sleep is much more important than going to a party for a couple of hours, then going to sleep, regardless of whether you're going to have a drink or not. Obviously, at that age, people drink, people not. Never drunk in my life. But there's just things that, you know, I've sacrificed now that have paid off. And now you can kind of get your life back a bit. Where you've worked hard throughout the years, you know, now you obviously can't chill out, but you can go out a bit more and you can have that downtime, because the football in first team environment's so intense.
Did you have pals who were trying to tempt you to go out and stuff?
Yeah, of course. I think everyone's got pals that, you know, that want you to come out. The problem is I moved to Diggs here at 14. So obviously where I was at home in Kingston for 7 days a week. I've gone from 5 days, so then my pals were wanting to see me on the weekends. But it just weren't possible, because obviously I was living in East London then, 5 times a week. They was all at home. And when parties were coming, oh, come on, we haven't seen you in ages. But my dad was having to bring me back up here on Sundays to play games at Little Heath. So
how old were you then?
14, 15.
Okay, right.
So it was tough. And when I was back in Kingston, before I moved into the Digs, you know, it was, like I said, pretty much a party every weekend, and I was so close to everyone. And it's tough to turn down and say, no, like, I can't come. But at the end of the day, if you want to become a footballer, in my eyes back then, it was in my head that, you know, I can't be doing them things. I've got to be focused on what I want to try and be.
Did you always want to be a professional footballer?
Yeah, always.
You didn't ever consider anything else?
No, I don't think... I'm academically not smart enough. That's for one.
But for any job?
I pretty much.
You could do it. I'm sure there's plenty of jobs you could do.
Mate, you know what? I don't know. all the lads say to me, good job you've got football. No, to be fair, in my head, since I was a kid, since I could walk, I've got videos of me at home running around in a nappy, smashing footballs.
Were you always like a standout football player then as a kid?
Yeah.
It's pretty obvious.
Yeah, it was. Well, I'm fortunate to my two older brothers, because they played as well, not to a high standard, but were very good. And I always used to, when they was what, 15, 16, I was like 5, 6. And I was going to play with their mates, like playing with the older players, 5 and 6, and I've just always played football everywhere I've, and that's all I've ever wanted to do. You know,
do you think you have to be, and I don't want to say boring, because it sounds like it's a little bit, I don't mean to sound mean, but you have to be almost so single minded on it.
Yeah,
you can't be. I mean, this is the old story about Gary Neville, where they would say he was like the third best right back at the club,
but
he was so dedicated and so into it and early to training every day that they just knew he had something and he was always going to improve because of that. Because you're obviously still quite a young man, right? So you, lots of people your age would be interested in other stuff, but you're always been quite single-minded about it.
Yeah, that's the, like you said then, Gary Neville wasn't the best player, but had probably one of the best Premier League careers you could have. Champions League, Premier League's for fun, because he worked hard. No, Gary Neville, he didn't have the best quality. He had quality, but he was an unbelievable right back for what he done. You know, he studied the position, got the best, become the best at what he done by hard work, staying extra on the training field, working on things. And that's pretty much like me from a young kid. Like you said there, my mind was always to play football. It was never to do anything else, to go out partying, to do another job. You know, I was always destined to try and become a footballer.
Do you think you can be a top level pro now without being as dedicated as that?
Nah, because now there's too many distractions.
Because if your old man's like my old man, he'll say, you know, back in the day in the 70s, there were these players and that players and they would do this and they would do that. But the game's different now, isn't it?
Yeah, the game's so much different. You hear stories of they used to come in at half time, have a cigarette, have a drink, and then go back out second half. Now, even with that, you do that, you're fined. Like, you're done, you're banned. I think you've just got to be so on it. To become a top-level player, you know, you need to have that mentality in your head that you want to go to the top. You want to become a footballer, and that's what you want your job to be for the next 10 to 15 years. Mm. Because once you're at a top Premier League club and you're training every day and you're playing, it's the best job in the world, regardless of all the criticism and what else you get with it. You know, you're coming in, you're seeing your best pals every day, you're having a laugh, you're training, scoring goals in training, you're having fun, getting memories. And, you know, these are things you look back at the end of your career where I've put the hard yards in and then now I'm enjoying it and doing what you love best.
Do you... So obviously your rise has been pretty swift. When you were first chucked in with the first team, were you kind of surprised at the difference in the quality and how much more intense it was?
So I first started to train with the first team. They used to bring players over.
How old were you?
I was 17.
Okay.
So
what are you now, 20?
20, yeah. So once or twice a week, you know, I'd get to come over. And that wasn't because I just needed an extra number. It was because when I was playing under 23 football, I was doing extremely well.
Right.
I was just...
So you were standing out at that
point?
Yeah,
I was standing...
Same position?
No, I was playing centre-back then.
Okay.
So when I first got into the first team, I was a centre-back.
Yeah.
But I was doing so well, like really well. Again, mentality with the 23s was training tough, train hard. You know, I had Matt Upton as my mentor, obviously England international, so I was sitting with him once or twice a week, going through things, wanting to better myself. But the level was definitely up a notch for sure. You know, then it was Dimitri Payet, like all them types of players.
Scary ability, yeah.
Yeah, scary. But you knew you had to be on it. And at the time it was Bilic, but even the manager now and Moyes, you know, they don't miss a trick. Like, even if you're a young player coming over to train, you need to be at your best. Because like I said, they don't miss one thing, you know, a bad pass, a good pass, you know, you'll get praise for it, you won't get praise for it. But I think it's so important now for a young player to come over. It's been tough this year because we've got such a big squad for the under-23s to come over and train with us. But when they have done, you know, they've been top, and I think that's the way, because so many people want to get into the first team.
Well, they're looking at you probably thinking, well, it's happened before, so it could hopefully happen again.
Yeah, exactly that.
But most players don't go from the academy into the first team, do they?
Yeah.
So what do you think is different about you? What stands out about you?
Consistency.
Yeah.
Manager knows what he's going to get from me every week. You know, when I step onto the pitch, he knows he's going to get 100%. I'm going to listen to the tactics he's given me to do. Knows with the ball, for good ability. And, you know, for the team in the position, it's a crucial role, you know, protecting the back four. So that's probably one of the reasons, well, a couple of the reasons why, you know, I've played pretty much every minute since the fifth game of last season.
I think you also seem quite mentally strong, quite confident.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not being just met, but you do. But that's important, right? Because if a manager wants to put a player in for his debut, it's a big stadium, West Ham.
Yeah.
It could be hard. But what do you remember about your debut?
It was away at Burnley. It was only like 5 minutes.
Proud moment, obviously.
Yeah, proud moment. But leading up to that, obviously training with the first team in that, like, I was playing the centre-back then. Like, my mentality was so good. Like, it's still the same now. You know, that extra more, that hungerness to get into the side and be over here permanently, get that changing room, you know, get your name above the thing, get fully moved over here full-time. You know, when I was coming over here, I was playing centre-back, ordering people around, and it was like, maybe 4 or 5 sessions in, like, I'm shouting from the back.
Really? Okay.
And that's just always been in me since I was a kid.
Sure.
You know, I've always been, you know, not scared to speak my mind and try and lead the team and do as best as I can as possible. But it's good here because obviously we've got so many leaders in the team. Everyone's always talking, egging you on to press, to defend, attack, you know, so it's always good.
I think it's even more impressive. I don't want to keep praising you, I'll slag you off in a minute, but it is even more impressive because of the position you play, because people think of centre-backs and they think, do you know what, my idea of a best centre-back, as you were at that point, is 26, 27, a lot of experience, reliable, is not going to let me down. If it's a young kid, that's fine if you're a wide forward or a playmaker or a striker or whatever. It's harder to break in at that age, I think, in that position.
100%, because my first season I broke in, I was playing centre back. So no, actually Bilic played me in midfield for a couple of games, and then obviously he got sacked, and Moyes come in for the last 6-7 months. Yeah. Changed to a back three, and I was playing to the right of a three at the back. And you're right, I was 19, going into 19-year-old. So, you know, it was tough. You're coming up against top centre half. I think one of my third starts at centre back was against City away. We lost 2-1.
Right.
But you take so much from the game. And like you said, I think it is much harder to break in at centre half than it would be on the wing, because you've got so much of the game you're involved in. Whereas the wing sometimes might pass you by, or, you know, with the wing, you've always got the ball to go and attack.
I also feel, if you're a winger, like, and if you have a quietest game ever, if you pick up the ball, take a man on, put in a cross and they score, people are just going to remember that. They ain't going to remember the other 85 minutes, are they?
I know. But in my position, and now, obviously now for me, even if I make a bad pass, people are on my case.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's one of them ones where you just got to take it on the chin, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. Does anything faze you at all? You're pretty unflappable as a character. So when you made your first start at home, for example, for West Ham, were you nervous?
No. I never get nervous, really.
Take it all in your stride.
Yeah, I don't know why I get nervous. It's like, first start for England, didn't get nervous.
Really?
Yeah, just, I don't know why. Just, I've never got nervous about a football match. I can't give you the reason why, I just don't know.
But it's obviously very important to you.
Yeah, of course.
It's your life, right?
Yeah. But I think some players, you speak to some players here, they say before the game they're well nervous.
Even after a career of 10 years or whatever?
Some people get really nervous. For some reason, I don't know, I get more of a thrill, like a buzz.
Yeah.
Like walking out, like the 60,000 singing Bubbles, like it gives you that boost.
Yeah.
Like, it sounds weird as well. Say like if we go like one goal down or something like that.
Yeah.
It feels like you get like an extra spurt of energy, like to come and we need to like lift it again here. Like
some
players might go, oh, like, one nil down. But me, like I think all the time, come on, like we can do something here.
Are you motivated even say you're 3 or 4 goals up in a game? Are you motivated to keep a clean sheet and stuff as well?
Yeah, I think that's so important. For defenders, clean sheet's like a goal really, isn't it?
Yeah.
So to keep clean sheets and win, I think it's really good.
Why do you think you sort of have evolved into a midfield player? Because you hear a lot, Guardiola's playing Fernandinho and Rodrigo at the centre back now. I mean, did it with Mascherano as well. So it's happened where players go from midfield to sort of centre back, and you can see why. But why do you think you've moved the other way?
It's a tough one. I think, because of my ability on the ball, I can play left foot, right foot.
Yeah.
You know, I'm big, strong, and get around.
You're naturally two-footed.
Yeah, naturally two. Worked on it since I was a kid. Getting around the pitch easy, got that defensive mindset.
Yeah.
And I think the manager, when he first come in and he seen me in that role, you know, talking to people in front, screening, getting the ball, and I think he really liked me in there.
Because that's been through different managers as well.
Yeah,
right?
Different managers. I've played centre mid, centre back, centre mid.
How do you see yourself as a player then? How would you describe yourself as a player to someone who'd never seen you play?
It's tough. I think most fans that would watch me would call me basic. It sounds, but if you read things now,
does that hurt you?
No, I wouldn't say it hurts me, because the role I do is basic, but it's actually a massive job.
Yeah.
But me breaking up the play and then just setting it off to someone, fans don't want to see that. They want to see me pick up the ball, run, do a step over, have a shot before I get praised.
Yeah.
They don't want me to win a tackle, just get up and then just lay it off nicely.
No.
They think, oh, what a boring player.
But in other countries, they really respect that.
I know. But here, you know, it's because I play for England and there's so much hype around me. People just expect so much more.
But there's a discipline there in knowing your role and knowing you can't overplay it in that area of the pitch.
And I know that. I know my limits. I know I'm not going to pick up the ball, like I said, from the keeper, run, and then do a step over, do a Maradona, and then lay it off.
Yeah.
I'm going to get it, turn, see my best option and give it.
Yeah.
And I think that's the best way to play. Get it, give it, simple.
So you would describe yourself as a defensive midfield player? Or?
Yeah, just a ball-playing, ball-winning, holding midfield player. I think when you watch me, there's so much more to that, but I wouldn't say I'm a flary player or attacking player.
No. Have you ever played a game where you fought up against players where you thought, God, this is hard, this is like another level?
Yeah, City all the time.
I spoke to Will Hughes, you know, and he said to and it was just after they lost in the cup final.
Yeah.
And he said, this is unbelievable. The concentration, it's so hard to stand
for it. I don't know what it is about them. They just make the pitch so big and pull into spaces where you don't want to get pulled into. It's just in, I'd say City, 100%. Every time you play them, it's like, yeah, they're good.
But it'd be nice, because obviously, because you're still an improving player, it'd be nice maybe in a couple of seasons' time where you think, do you know what? I'm actually a lot better against this team than maybe I felt like I was a couple of years ago, because you're going to be growing and having more experience and stuff.
It was the first half of our opening game against City. It was only 1-0 down. We could have maybe had two as well. We could have had big chances. And you know what, we thought our time going in, like, we're in the game here. Like, they're not really creating anything other than the goal. And then they come out second half, just went up another notch, and it was just like, Jesus Christ, scored four.
We were
just all looking at each other like, it's ridiculous.
But how do you react to that? Do you just go, do you know what, there's nothing you can do?
You can't.
Draw a line under it, move on.
After the game, that's what we've done. We just, it's not the only time they're going to put five past the team. Of course, it's City, you don't want to lose 5-0 at home, but listen, if you're... speaking of a fan, if you're a fan going stood on that pitch next to De Bruyne, Sterling, Aguero, you try tracking down, because it's tough. It's really tough.
Do you rate yourself as someone who can get around the pitch well?
Yeah, I can get. I'd say I've got much better at that, 100%.
But it's still too really hard against those kind of players.
Yeah, because they drag you out of your position. They're so smart. Like me, I want to sit in front of the back four and stay centrally and intercept. But De Bruyne drags you out, because, and then Aguero comes into the, they're just, movement is just ridiculous.
Yeah. And it's harder when you haven't got the ball, right?
Yeah.
And they have so much of the ball, that makes your job harder.
Yeah, it's so tiring.
Yeah. When you're out there, so you, presumably you prefer playing midfield than you do playing centre-back, right?
Yeah.
So that's where you see yourself.
It's a tough one. I don't know. I see myself a midfielder for now,
100%.
I think maybe as I get older, because I'm so good, like, with the ball, like passing that left foot, right foot, I've got the pace, strength. I could see myself as a centre back again in the future, maybe. But for now, I think my best position is in the middle. But I'll never rule out playing centre half again.
When you're out there playing, this is quite a hard question to answer, and I appreciate that. But when you're out there playing, it's fascinating to someone like me who's never played football professionally. Are you kind of in the moment thinking about what you're doing at the time, or is it all on instinct? So when you say you pick up the ball, and you see, and you're looking for, you said earlier, I'm looking for my best option, right?
Yeah.
But to someone who's not a football player watching, you've got about, it feels like about half a second to do all that.
So
how do you do it?
I think you've got the picture in your mind already, though, before you get it.
So you just process it quicker.
Yeah, before, say if you're the goalkeeper and I'm about to get the ball, before he's passed it to me, I've already checked my shoulder to see where the pass is, to see where the pass. If you look at the best that have done that over the years, Xavi, Carrick, Busquets, they're 2-3 steps ahead of everyone.
Paul Scholes used to have a helmet.
Paul Scholes, Lampard used to check 50 times, 60 times a game, just always checking his shoulders.
Building up a picture of what's happening.
Yeah, getting into space and seeing where the next pass is. I think it's so important. If I turned without knowing what's behind me, I'm just going to get smashed. And, you know, you don't know. But to be a top player, I think you always need to be checking to see where your next pass is. You already need to know before the ball's coming to you where you're going to put the ball.
So that's what you do?
Yeah.
Or try to do?
Yeah, try to do.
Because it's interesting, because I think I've obviously played football with my mates or on a Saturday or whatever for a team, and it feels like a really mechanical thing, because you've got no ability.
I watch my mates sometimes, and I think, like, when I'm watching them, I know it's a completely different standard.
Yeah.
But like, I just think there's so many easy balls on, and they just try to play another pass. Like, everything's so
obvious.
It's so obvious. Like, just relax. I was watching my mates play at goals the other night, five-a-side.
Yeah.
And like, I was probably taking it in, like, just watching. And they was all coming to the feet for the ball in five-a-side. And I said to him at half time, I said, it's really frustrating me what you lot are doing. Like, I'm bothered about you lot because so much space and you're all coming to the ball. It's really frustrating me. Like me, I think different to them. Like,
so they wouldn't, coaching them.
Not coaching them, but I pick up on different things they would never think about. I don't know, and that's just always been.
How have you learned that? You're born.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I think it's just knowing football, like.
Because you said that your career is down to 90% hard work, but obviously you've got a brain that processes these things much better.
Of course. But I think where you're playing around top players and that, training every day, you know, you're always building your football knowledge up all the time, watching games. You're always building it up. But even in some Premier League games and that, like, some people might think about me when I've got the ball, why didn't you play that ball in there? Everyone's always thinking it. Why didn't you pass it in that ball? Like, that ball was better.
Do you find that when you watch yourself back?
Why didn't I play the pass that... Sometimes, I think I've got much better at playing the passes that are more... that I should be playing, especially this season.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Just change trains sort of slightly. The aspect of being a football player at your age, outside of the actual games themselves, that must be quite hard, right? Because you're in the public eye all the time. People, everyone knows who you are.
Yeah.
You have to make quite serious decisions about things at such a young age. I know you've got your family around
and stuff.
But I know you don't know any different. But I'm twice your age. Yeah. So I think about what I was like when I was your age. I just think I'd find that quite overwhelming, really, to be in that position. But do you kind of find that you deal with it quite easily, quite laid back?
I'm quite laid back about everything, to be honest. I'm chilled out. I know the situation I'm in, where if I go out, I'm going to be stopped regardless. Yeah. I know that's coming. Some players might get the ump about that, like, oh, I want to go down, put my hood up today, put my hat on, don't want to get noticed, don't want to see fans. But I'm pretty chilled out about the whole situation, and like you said there, obviously I'm well known now. It's always going to happen, and with the spotlight and things like that, you do need to be careful, of course.
Was there an adjustment period, or you just naturally just got on with it?
No, naturally just got on with it, because I think every time you're going out, like going to London now after, you're representing England, you're representing West Ham. Anything you do badly, it's going to reflect bad on the club, bad on the country. So you always need to be on your guard, pretty much.
Are you told that as well?
No, I just know in my head, like, smart, of course. If I'm going to do something bad, the club are going to be informed, England will be informed, the whole world will be informed. So you just got to be smart about things.
But that brings its own pressure, doesn't it?
No, because you don't think about it. If there was a developing situation, like you got into a bit of a pickle in London or whatnot, you never know what's going to go on. You take yourself away from it. Like, I think if you go out thinking, oh, pressure, like, blah, 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 when you enjoy yourself. Like, I don't ever think about it, to be honest.
What do you think you would, you know, when you get to my age, you look back on your career, what would you consider to be success?
I think you've got to win stuff. You have to.
Is that what every player wants to do?
Of course. I think there's no better feeling of seeing, of course, for players, well, for me, of course, I want to win everything. Like, I think every player wants to win everything.
Yeah.
Like, you're looking at Liverpool last year, Henderson lifting the trophy, how much it meant to him.
Yeah.
The team, that's what you want in your career. I think you look back at John Terry's career, how much he's won.
Yeah.
Scary.
It's mad, like those as Man United players in the 90s. Like, I mean, it flashed up with, but you mentioned Roy Keane earlier. It flashes up when he does a bit of punditry, it comes up. Roy Keane, 7 Premier League titles.
I know.
It's mad now, because they were so dominant, but now it's obviously shared around a bit more. 7 Premier League titles in one career is amazing, and there are players out there who've won more gigs, you know.
I know.
That would be...
like, to win, imagine that. Like, can't even imagine it winning. But to win it would be like... I don't know what would happen. I'd just go bonkers for a couple of days. The Champions League, well, like, imagine winning the World Cup. Like, that is just the best thing you could do, ever.
Well, you've got a much better chance of winning it than I have, mate.
And West Ham have already won the World Cup. Probably
that's
more.
True. Exactly. You could do it again for the second time, mate. So you think you genuinely think you want to be winning things already? You don't want it because some players I interview, they'll say, "Well, you know what? If I can have a career of 15 years, I mean, that's amazing." You know?
Of course, that as well. That is of course having a successful career, playing as many games
stay
as you can.
Stay injury free, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, stay injury free, as many games as possible. Play for 15 years. If I'd done that without winning the trophy, I'd still be happy. Because I'd have achieved my dreams, you know what I mean? Mm. Playing the Premier League, playing at the top level. But I think if you won something, I think it'd make it that extra bit special.
Do you have any ambitions sort of outside of football? Or are you just not thinking about that at the moment? Because the reason I ask that, Declan, is because sometimes we'll see a pundit say about a player, well, what he should be doing is concentrating on his football. He shouldn't be doing this, he shouldn't be doing that. Yeah. But you're a human being, right? Yeah, so you might have interest elsewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
But is it just all football at the moment?
It's all football at the moment, to be honest. I've got two brothers, so we've spoke about a few things as brothers. But to be honest, nothing's happening at the moment. Just fully focused on football. That's the thing now, though. Even if you wanted to go and do something and it come out, you're going to get battered for it. Like even if it's your life outside of football, like what today you finished 2 o'clock, go home. People think footballers every like, we've got a lot of time on our hands.
What do you normally do then?
Well, now I'd probably go home and play PS4 and wait until missus for finished work and have some dinner and chill out. Like, that's pretty much my day to day. Go back, see my friends. Like today, I'm going to London. I'm going to meet Noble for some dinner.
Yeah. You mentioned Mark Noble there. Was he someone you're closest to here?
He's kind of a bit
of a mentor for you too.
Yeah, he's probably...
Is he like your football dad?
Yeah, he's football dad.
Is he?
Yeah,
what kind of football son are you?
What do you mean?
Are you a good son to him?
Yeah, I'm a good son. I don't bring him any egg.
He doesn't have to ground you.
No, he don't have to ground me. He's drilled me well, to be fair.
Has he?
Yeah.
But he's taken you under his wing?
Yeah.
Oh, good on him. That's really nice of him.
Yeah. But since I come in the first team, he's been like that. But as I've got a bit older and a bit mature, like he's pretty much taught me everything he's already known already.
Right, okay.
We're still really close. I got a meeting today. We're good friends.
So I've interviewed players before, strikers, who've said, I want the team to win, but I don't want the guy playing in my position to score.
Yeah.
Because I want to play.
Yeah.
But you and Mark are similar players, but he's been supportive and stuff.
Oh, yeah, of course. I don't think, even with England, I've played for, Mark has had probably one of the best Premier League careers you could have without getting an England cap.
He's been fantastic.
Yeah. And I'm 20 and I've got six, but for him, he
might rub it in or not?
No, of course not. Because he deserved to have had loads of England caps over the years.
Yeah. Did you look up to him when you were coming through as well?
Yeah, I think everyone in the academy, you'd look at Nobes and think, I want to be like get in the first team, give everything. But I think a lot of players, again, underestimate how good he actually is as well. Like, you see him in training every day, top player.
Hmm. What advice would you give to a young player coming through now?
Go out, drink. No, I'm joking. No.
I thought you were going to say be more Declan Rice.
No, just enjoy it when you're young, but work hard and...
The rewards will come.
Yeah, rewards will come.
That's it.
Legend.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking, like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.